All right, we're on mic here. This is our second episode. Welcome to Fountains of Splain.
That's Tyler Crosby.
And that's Grace Duffy. Oh, and that was an unplanned intro. And here we are making our second episode of this show. Grace, before we get into anything else, like the song of the week, how do you think our first episode went?
I think it was listenable, besides the fact that we're both talking at a clip of 100,000.
Yeah, we learned a lot. We both listened back to the episode, and I think we both learned a lot about the difference between how one should talk on microphone while making a podcast or a radio show or whatever, and how people can talk in real life. Because when we speak in real life, we're like, and it's I feel like it's fine in the real world space. And then listening back to that first episode, I was like, oh my god, we need to slow down.
You, with some frequency, when we're in real life with our friends, have to translate what I'm saying, which I think we would happily provide like a transcript to this, but it wouldn't be as it's not like instant gratification the way it is when you're standing next to me in our group of friends.
Yeah, no, that is true. And I feel like the longer we're together, like on one of those periods where for like one of us will be on the other person's couch for a week, by the end of that week, it's like a different language, because we've gotten so used to just speaking at a million miles per minute and just like,
it's a tango.
Yeah, for sure.
Wait, I'm gonna interrupt you. Something else I noticed about last week is that we introduced getting into Wayne like we were exposing someone to sexual kinks. Like, in listening back, I don't remember what you said. I didn't write it down. I just wrote down like exposing someone to sexual kinks, because we got really earnest when we started talking about like becoming a Fountains of Wayne fan.
I mean, it's probably the thing that the two of us are most precious about. Like, when I think about things that you and I are both mutually earnestly passionate about, being like carrying the torch for Fountains of Wayne is like the biggest thing, because it carries this importance of like, we need to spread the good word, because they have such a tarnished reputation, and we're like, I feel like we're doing the like this ground soldier work of like ringing everybody's doorbell and being like, have you heard that Fountains of Wayne is actually great?
We're fucking Jehovah's Witnesses.
We literally are. We're Wayne's Witnesses. That's what we are.
Oh my god. Another thing about last episode is we had that whole conversation about Wayners, Wayneheads, names. Dude, Wayniacs.
Oh my god.
I was sitting on my porch, like, listening back, and I was just like, I'm honestly ashamed that I didn't think of it.
That this took us this long. That is it. That is so much better. Yeah. Oh my god, Wayniacs, you are so... I want to get that tattooed on my lower back, like, tonight. God.
Tyler's first tattoo. Everybody.
My first tattoo is a lower back tattoo. That's his
on-air tattoos.
Oh my god. Oh, that'd be such a good, like, special for this show. Just, like, tattoo artist being like, why are you setting up a microphone? And being like, don't worry about it.
Wait, what would be a good Fountains of Wayne tattoo? Because I would 100% get one with you.
Oh my god, that's such a good question. I mean, there's, like, infinite little tiny references and imagery in the songs. I would need to think on it. I can't even...
Yeah.
I can't even say it off the top of my head.
Fountain. No, just kidding.
Fountain. The sign from the real business Fountains of Wayne in Wayne, New Jersey.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad. Which, by the way, we, the two of us, have both been separately and just by chance have both been watching through The Sopranos for the first time. And there's an episode in The Sopranos where Tony Soprano has beef with an employee who works at Fountains of Wayne, and they show the sign and he's there to buy a fountain. And that just like rocked my world. And I wonder if the people who make the show were fans of Fountains of Wayne. And I say that only because, like, first of all, North Jersey pride. And second of all, like, Wayne was kind of a popular band at the, I think it was pre-Stacey's Mom, but they were already kind of like a buzzy popular band.
The show came out in 99, right? And then the first album came out in 96. So
they would have been around for a few years, and Interstate Managers came out in 2003, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in that, I think that's like a season 3 episode where he goes to Fountains of Wayne, the business. And I believe that would have been like the year 2001. So it would have been pre them being like, you know, briefly megastars for that like summer or whatever. But I feel like independent music plays this weirdly large role on The Sopranos. Like Michael Imperioli's girlfriend on the show, or fiance on the show at that point, I think, is like a big, like, she wants to be like an A&R scout or something, and she like, they open this like music club together, and she's always like trying to manage bands. It's like this weird subplot that sort of bubbles through the whole show. It's kind of her track, at least up to, I'm only in season four now for the first time,
so maybe, and that Anthony Jr. being a huge metalhead.
There's all these like weird music things, or like the posters on Meadow's wall too, or like of these kind of indie bands of the time,
dumb awful bands that Meadow likes.
Like, so I don't know, I feel like there's a chance that David Chase and the other people who made that show were like, or even just like a production designer was like, hey, there's this band I like kind of like, and I want to sneak in an homage to them. And then that band blew up, and now every time anybody goes to Fountains of Wayne, it'll be kind of silly.
Yeah, I would be 0% surprised if, as we continue watching it, Fountains of Wayne popped in there.
What do you, oh, you mean like it, the band popped into the show?
Oh, no, no, no. Just like there was like a soundtrack song of Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, yeah, like a song in the credits, or a poster on someone's wall, or a t-shirt. Yeah, I think as soon as Interstate Managers comes out, we're officially like in a place where we could very well see that happen. We'll have to, we'll keep tabs on that as we keep watching the show.
Yeah, on the show we're watching 2 decades too late. We'll keep you guys updated on, on our progress.
Anyway, so this is a show, as you know, but maybe people listening don't, where we basically have every single studio Fountains of Wayne song, like all the songs from the studio albums, basically listed in order on a Google document, and we're gonna do a random number generator number and just like talk about a song at random and go totally out of order. So last week we did Everything's Ruined, which was an appropriate note to start the podcast on, and now we're gonna pick another one and talk about it.
Yes, I've taken a Wayne tea break this week, so I'm very excited to get back on the horse.
Yeah, I actually haven't. I feel like there's so much new music lately that I haven't really been listening to a lot of Wayne, just because we were talking off mic before we started recording, but there's like just like a bunch of bands I love and artists I love have put out albums in the last like 3 or 4 months. I feel like part of it is because maybe if they were saving it for later this summer, they were like, well, we can't tour or do anything else, we might as well just put the record out if it's done.
A bunch of people are either actively releasing albums or already have. I definitely have like a compiled playlist of just all of the recent stuff. And also, I just want to mention that Phoebe Bridgers did a hilarious Instagram thing where she like had a video put together of a bunch of upcoming tour dates with like a really like deep voiced voiceover guy on it. And she was like, coming soon from my bedroom. And then on Thursday, the 26th, my bathroom. I was just like, also, I've been listening to mad podcasts as well.
Yeah, that's just like the concept. It's weird because in the pandemic time, you have to find time that isn't commuting time to listen to podcasts. But I've just been taking daily walks if I can. And also I've been trying to like clean and renovate my bedroom here.
Good
and
for you,
that's
man.
That's been solid podcast time, and also time to listen to the fourth and newest Run the Jewels album at full volume back to back to back because it's flawless.
It's weird. I like it would just wake up and I'm in my bed, and then like I guess I put my AirPods in now and force myself to listen to a podcast even though I'm not in motion, which is bizarre.
Might as well stimulate my brain before it falls out of my ears. That's like what it feels like.
Life is my ear holes in my brain.
Worse against this like numbing reality of just being in your own house all the time and being like, well, I wonder what the outside is like.
I guess today I'll sweat.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, should we random numby generate?
Fire her off.
All right, last time you had a gripe with our last time. We counted down from 10 and that did indeed seem too long. And maybe actually, because I haven't edited it yet, maybe I edited that out and maybe that isn't actually the case. But Let's just start so I don't have to edit it. Just give me a nice count from five. And oh, I need to change it now. It's no longer 69 songs, it's 68 songs. So from 1 to 68, we're going to randomly generate a number. And then in the kind of running list of Wayne songs, we're going to see where it falls from their five studio albums in order.
Yeah, you have to explain that every time, because when I tried to, it was a nightmare.
I feel like we'll get better and better at doing it concise. We should probably write down like a super concise two-sentence way to describe the whole premise of the show rather than just kind of like fumble through it every time and be like, we have a number generator and there's also a dog and all the songs are listed and they're in order on the albums, which are also in order. And we're going to hit the button. 5, 4, 3, 2.
We have a dartboard and there's 69 rings and
That would be pretty fun.
That would be so fun. I feel like we should just lie and say that.
Yeah, we should lie every time and make up a new, totally fantastic way that we're doing this.
That's an amazing idea. We have a 69-ring dartboard and one dart. One poison-tipped dart.
And whichever song it hits, we're never going to listen to again.
Okay, yeah, go for it. I count you down?
Yeah, I'm pressing the button.
Okay, should I do like a silent... You can see my hand. I do like a...
Nah, give me verbal. Give me like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, I'll do both. 5, then 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, we're stopping. Okay, fascinating. We are at song 30 out of the 68 remaining Fountains of Wayne songs. Obviously, Everything's Ruined has been removed. Song 30 is No Better Place off Welcome Interstate Managers.
Oh,
that's so good. I'm going to weep. Oh, my God. I'm so excited about that.
I'm going to start.
Also, just so you know, that's one away from Hackensack, just saying. But that's fine.
Oh, that's edging, dude. That's
edging so hard. This is literal audio edging. Edging and also illegal. Okay, I'm so excited though. Let's hop off mic and do our listen, and then we'll come back with everything anybody could possibly want to know about that song.
Yes.
We are back on mic, and we have listened to the song for the first ever time.
First time in both our lives.
First time in all our lives that we've listened to that song. If by first time you mean 4,000th time.
Yeah. We've listened to that song 3 times this time, and I have a million.
And also, like, together we've heard the song a million times. Like, we've definitely been on road trips, like, 200 times. And this is just, like, what we're always listening to this album in the car because it's just a great car album. But this song particularly is such an, like, infectious car anthem.
This is super enigmatic of when we started listening to them. Because we were listening to that album so much, because it's also the album Hackensack is on, I'm pretty sure... Our Wayne obsession started when I came to do the show in Jersey.
Oh, was it during that period?
I think so. And it was like, I have to say that this song is about me because this was like a year after I had moved out of New York. So we find Fountains of Wayne and we get obsessed with Hackensack and we subsequently get obsessed with Welcome Interstate Managers. And then this song's on it and it's all Now You're Leaving New York for No Better Place. And I'm like standing in Newark Penn Station on my way back from like drinking in a bar in Newark on my birthday while I wait for a connecting train to get back and see you. And I'm like, New York again, I did it.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. I think that's 100% true. Well, one of the things I wrote down when I was doing my listen through here is that I have in real life listened to this song while leaving New York for No Better Place. And sometimes it's in a small way. Like I've listened to this song like driving from, because I lived in New York for a time until very recently, and I would just like drive back to New Jersey for a visit, and I would put this on, and it'd be kind of like a joke I would have with myself and also an excuse to listen to a great song. And then like recently I like abruptly had to move kind of in the midst of the pandemic stuff, and I definitely listened to this song like in the U-Haul because it was just kind of playing through my head for the whole day when I was like packing up my apartment in one day because I had no time to plan or lay any of that, like do any of that pre-moving work. So I literally did everything in one day, like rented the truck, got it to my apartment in Brooklyn, packed my apartment up, and then moved it back to New Jersey. And like this, like the lyrics of the song would kind of pop in my head, and then I was driving back and I like had to play it in the U-Haul because it was just so like kind of exactly my I feel like your experience of listening to it in Newark Penn in that moment when you were coming to New Jersey to work on a immersive theater piece we were working on and my experience a couple months ago leaving Brooklyn in a U-Haul, like those experiences together make up like the entire sum of everything the song is saying.
Yeah, I'm leaving the city and there's no reason, which I also like similarly to you, I was before we ever got into them, which I realized last time we were talking, we made it sound like we were like lifelong Waniacs. And it really like was post-grad that we got super into them. But the year before we ever listened to this song, we had just finished up college and I was just like, I'm bored, I'm sad, I'm leaving. And there was some motivation, but it was a little bit senseless. And I think that that song captures that pretty well. And then especially you like evacuating your apartment during a pandemic and be like, oh, I'm going here, and it sort of feels not for nothing, but
just like the like there's kind of like a this is like a classic Fountains of Wayne song because it's like an upper song and a downer song at the same time. Like it's an upbeat song in a positive key with like jingle jangly instrumentals, but the lyrics are aching with this sadness, and that really is kind of like the feeling of leaving New York, or imagine any city that you've chosen to live in the way that we both have, whether it was right after college or in some attempt after college to stay in New York City. But leaving the city that you've chosen to pick as your new home for reasons kind of forced or brought on by yourself, and you always are playing this game in your head of trying to justify it and being like, is this the right decision? Like in my case, it kind of wasn't a decision. There was a bunch of weird shit with my lease and I like had to move, but even then I was like, should I have like looked for a different apartment like immediately in the midst of this terrible worldly dilemma? And it just right. I decided that wasn't the right decision. I should give that a few months for everything to calm down. But yeah, you're just kind of like I'm leaving New York for no better place. And do I need to feel like guilty about that?
Right. Totally. Yeah, it's sort of it's like a cutting song, too. I would say we talked about Everything's Ruined last week, how it might be self-reflective. And this one to me sounds like it's sort of accusatory, being like, you are leaving me, you are leaving New York, and for fucking what?
Yeah, and one of the things I made note of is it seems like in the beginning half of the song, the narrator of the song is, and we have this theory that this whole album is like basically a concept album, so that this is kind of like a character in a story, and it's this like disgruntled kind of young professional commuter and
alcoholic.
Yeah, and in the beginning of the song all this kind of anger is outward, like you're saying, like there's this kind of malice to it where he's like, you're leaving New York and therefore you're leaving me and that hurts. But then by the end, a lot of that anger kind of bends inward. By the end of the song, he's talking about sitting at a party by himself where he like doesn't really have any friends or anybody at least that he feels like talking to, and he seems like, if not mad at himself or mad about himself and his situation, there's this like really kind of aggressive apathy of being like, well, fuck this. I'm just going to like sit here and like drink by myself at this party, I guess. But he seems like mad at himself because of it.
Yeah, it does sort of it appears to split into two parts where it's sort of a conversation with somebody and then it warps back into being a conversation, a very mean conversation with himself.
Yeah, right. And it's interesting too, because it's kind of like in the beginning of the record but moving toward the middle, and it's definitely a tone shift. Like the early parts of the album are optimistic. There are those sort of warning signs for this character, like there's like clearly there's some kind of alcohol problem present. Yeah. Talking about in other songs about like blacking out at Port Authority and like missing your bus. Like that's not the good good behavior, right?
I'll have another glass of Mexican wine.
Yeah, right. And that's after that song, you know, it's like, so there's all these things, but those songs are like pretty upbeat and they're hopeful. And even if there's like some sarcasm, even in the title of Bright Future in Sales and those kind of songs, there is this kind of like hopefulness to them, at least kind of sonically, like in the instrumentals and in the harmonies and then kind of the upbeatness to them. And then the album moves into Hackensack, which is the song that comes immediately before this one. And Hackensack is sort of one of those more explicitly downer songs. Like it's a little bit sadder, it's a little bit more longing, and it has that classic kind of slacker loser energy to it.
Yeah, hopeful loser.
Right, hopeful longing, you know, that sense of like Wayne branded longing. And this is the first song in the album where I'd say there's any true bitterness. Like this is the first time where you get some explicit anger.
Yeah, and it doesn't really happen again until Hung Up on You. Also, the song that follows this is Valley Winter Song, which is super interesting because we switch regions geographically really suddenly. It goes, and it, like, this is a song about departure, so you're leaving New York, and then you end up in the Pioneer Valley of Massachusetts, which is the exact move I made, and the thesis statement is that this song is literally by me and for me.
Yeah, you ghost wrote this song.
I literally am the ghost writer of this whole album, which is why I know it's a post 9/11 commentary fucking concept album.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely like a how do we live in the world, like the crisis of the individual in post 9/11 America, especially in New York City, as a person who's like trying, like navigating the waters of like addiction and love.
That's
and
the
relationships
way I wrote it. Yeah, and that's what I wrote it to be.
Yeah, exactly. When you were five.
No, wait, that's five. All wrong. When I was...
You had a premonition when you were five. You had a Final Destination style premonition where you were like, this is what's going to happen. I can feel it. And when you were 9 or 10 or whatever, you just wrote it all down and mailed it to Fountains of Wayne. And they wrote
this
album for you.
Chris and Adam.
Your dad was like, hey, here's the phone.
On my cellular. On my singular wireless.
I got to open my flip phone and pull the antenna all the way out. Hang on.
Oh, the Verizon ringback tone has been reached.
Oh god, that they should have sampled that on this song. That would have been really appropriate.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and also like thing to say about this song is I mean, first of all, it's a bop. It totally rules, which I think has been pretty clear by everything we've been saying, but
best 4 minutes and 6 seconds of my life.
Yeah, I would argue the best part of this song musically, like the part that every time it happens, I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm so excited that it's happening, is that like bridge kind of pre-chorusy part, where he goes into talking about the ghosts on Madison Avenue displays, some ghosts that that part, because it's just like one of those nice unexpected things where you're like, you think the song's gonna be verse chorus and maybe like bridge chorus end, but they toss that in there and then it goes into like kind of a instrumental interlude, like a bridge or just like the kind of a guitar solo.
Yeah,
and it's just so sweet. Like that's just one of those pure like Wayne dopamine shots for me, that like melody change. It's just like it's so good because you want more of it. Like the way those words flow with that melody just for those like four lines is so pleasurable to me.
Yeah, it really rips. One of my favorite parts of the song that I physically tear up at every time, and it's right after that, I believe, when he says, it may be the whiskey talking, but the whiskey says I miss you every day.
Yeah, that says so much. Like, that's for one thing, like, it's so good. It says so much.
Like, best line of writing in all of music, I think. Like, it really, it's like, I mean,
it's perfect. It's so sad. It's like, if you need comfort, you're like, oh, okay, this guy is an alcoholic because the whiskey is telling him this every day. And also, like, And then you're like, oh, and this is also why you're it's so good for like reasons you can't even really put into words. It's like why it's like you need music to explain some things in ways that spoken words can't. Like that line of lyric in the context of this song, in the context of this album, is just perfect.
It may be the whiskey talking, but like what I wouldn't be talking if it weren't for whiskey. And like everything I do is fueled by whiskey, so fuck it. And
like leading up to this moment, like we were saying, like he's kind of harsh, like he's making fun of this person in the beginning, and then by the end is like admitting, but also like I'm sad and drunk and I miss you. And that is just so fucking sad. And on a first listen through this song, you might not get that because it's an upbeat song. It kind of feels like a happy song. There's these kind of irresistible, like jittery, like shakers happening, like an egg shaker going through. That's like just the thing that gets stuck in your ear. And that's so pleasurable to listen to. Like those occasional vocal harmonies that like pop up when you least expect them. It's just like a perfect power pop song. And then like if you actually listen to the lyrics, it's so fucking sad.
Right. One of the things that's so powerful about this song is she leaves during it. Like you were saying, it's broken up into two parts, like maybe two up to the bridge even that you were talking about. She's in New York. Him and his alcoholic girlfriend are together fighting in New York, and then she's gone, and the whiskey says I miss you every day.
Yeah, exactly. And at the beginning, even like she's asking for forgiveness for doing it, and he's being kind of mean about it, and you just get like such a portrait of who the narrator of the song must be like, that like he's being kind of a jerk to this person he so clearly loves so much. And then it's like, well, no wonder that that person isn't there anymore.
Wow.
I do have a question about the song, something that has never made total sense to me. I don't know if we've talked about it before, but there's one line in the song where I'm like, what do we think this line's about? And that line is, you're awake and trying not to be wrapped around your pillow like a prawn.
Thank you for saying it.
So like, what can you talk me through that?
I have tons of opinions as an alcoholic. I think it's waking up in the morning sick to your stomach. And we've talked about this before because that line is so good, because the imagery of it is that you're shaped like a shrimp. So your head is tucked into your feet.
Right.
You're wrapped around your pillow like a prawn. It's your pillow's in the center of you and you're wrapped around it. And for me, that's super indicative of waking up fucking every day hungover.
Okay, that is fascinating, because that's a way, I think, more accurate read on what this is about. Because I was thinking, is he so heartbroken that he's like waking up like crying, clinging to a pillow, like in lieu of his girlfriend? But I think that's a way more accurate read of what this is about. Because especially I'm looking at this whole section now, and it's, you're awake and trying not to be wrapped around your pillow like a prawn. The nighttime's wrapped around you, will be until it drops you on the dawn. And like that feels very much about like a regretful and sad night out and where it gets you.
I drink all night, it's the best, I can wait to feel this way both emotionally and physically, and then the dawn drops in and it's my turn to be fucking clutching my pillow again.
Yeah. And then it goes right on to say, from the sea train to the shiny tower, kicked around till happy hour found you, where you can drink that smirk right off your face. And it's just like this, like it's just throwing a bunch of words at like the wall here about that experience of like just being sad and drinking too much and kind of the consequences and the toll that has on one's life, especially in the context of a breakup where it's just like everything's extra intense and sad.
Totally. Do you think that it's that he's wrapped around the pillow or that she's wrapped around the pillow?
I don't know, because that's the thing, like we were saying, at first, like he's saying when they first start, like, is that supposed to be a poker face or did you get run over by train? And it's clear that he's talking to somebody else. By that point, I don't know if maybe he's turned inward. No, because then, I mean, when he starts talking to himself, he says, the bourbon sits inside me. Right now, I'm a puppet in its sway.
Pretty faithful again, with pronouns, yeah.
Right, yeah. So I guess he is, maybe this is a dysfunctional relationship with two alcoholics.
I think it is. Yeah. I think they both are. I think she's still there and he's speaking to her in the beginning and they're both just diffusing emotion with booze.
Yeah, and he's being hypocritical, saying like, you're gonna wake up hungover and regretful, and then you're gonna like wait till you get off work and then go like drink yourself into oblivion and take the C train to a shitty bar. And like, then later in the song, he's basically saying like, you know, am I any better? I'm sitting here, the whiskey, yes. I'm a puppet in the whiskey's, the bourbon sway. Like, it's so, he's just being a total hypocrite.
I've never thought about this before, but maybe that's his huge complaint about her. And he's just complaining about her being a boozer the whole song. And then she leaves and he doesn't have the creativity to cope with it any other way.
Yeah. And he's like maybe projecting some of his own problems onto her, being like, you drink too much. And she's like, are you kidding me?
I'm going to Northampton.
Yeah, right.
I'll get out of here. You're drunk. Oh,
yeah,
man. I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah, that's one of my favorite lines in the song as well. This song has a ton of gems.
Yeah, I mean, the song is like, it's like the Fountains of Wayne song in terms of like the way it mixes a mood with a like musical choices, the way it's a power pop kind of upbeat song, up tempo, but it's also like has this aching sadness, and not just like a canned kind of like I'm sad cliche breakup. Like, there's so much to this song, there's so much nuance in the song, in the words. This is, I think, one of the best Fountains of Wayne songs.
It might best encapsulate this album in the ways you're talking about, because I mean, we've talked in detail about how this is a concept album and Stacey's mom's justified in the context of it, because it's about this sort of like alcoholic and all his grandiosity being like, I'm trying to work this job and I'm keep my girlfriend happy and I deserve Stacey's mom. I'm an adult. I drink tons of beer. All the things that are standout about the entire album are sort of ring in this song for me.
Yeah, I mean, it is really kind of like the biggest themes of the album are all on this song, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
In a way that's really kind of concise. And like, if you were going to try to sell that idea of Interstate Managers being a concept album, this would be kind of the one that might seal the deal for somebody who's not totally on board. Because the themes that are in this song and some of kind of the verbiage that appears in other songs, like you can say like, look, there's a reference to this, and you can see that later on this song or earlier on this song. Like, this is a song that's kind of working with, it works so well on its own, but it's also working as a cog in the machine of the album in a way that really kind of sells it as a concept deal.
Yeah, we've been talking so long, but we should also probably talk about how frequently or how many modes of transportation are mentioned in this song.
Oh my god, yeah.
Transportation is a huge theme in general for Wayne, but definitely on Welcome Interstate Managers. And I think he at least takes three separate modes of transportation on this one alone.
Well, he says, have you been run over by a train? Which I guess doesn't really count. He's taking
the shiny tower.
Yeah, so that's the subway. That's like metro transit.
A taxi to the all-night party.
Yeah, that's two. It's all like this is funny too, because this is such a New York City song, and a lot of the songs on this album are, it's clear that this guy is commuting from New Jersey, or at least like was, and then maybe there's a vague point in the album where this like character has essentially moved to New York City, like once the job picks up or whatever. But this is the first song where he's like, it seems like everything is coming from a person in New York City. And so all the references are like a taxi cab and a subway. And did you get run over by a train? Probably like basically the Amtrak train on like the platform at Grand Central where she's about to leave and take it to Amherst.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but we've been going on forever. Are there any other like last things that we need to say about this? Anything we're forgetting about?
I don't think so, unless you wanted to mention the fucking sick concert DVD you found.
Yeah, okay, so there's I think the only Fountains of Wayne live DVD is called No Better Place, which clearly they believe in this song and all the things it's about enough to like name their entire live concert experience after it, which I think speaks volumes. And also, we, the two of us, are obviously giant fans, Wayniacs, if you will. and you will. We didn't know about this live DVD until we were doing a little digging. Like, I Googled No Better Place, Fountains of Wayne, and the DVD popped up. And I'd seen some clips from that live thing, but I never realized that it, like, the distributor, Shout Factory, who puts out loads of, like, culty TV shows and, like, horror movies and stuff. So anyone who's, like, a big media nerd is maybe familiar with it. And I had no idea they put out, they have a whole music wing, and they put out this Fountains of Wayne live DVD, and No Better Place is like a concert album that they put out. But a
we
concert
need to
video.
Get our grimy mitts on it.
Yeah, we need to get our dirty, grimy mitts on that immediately and watch it, that smudge it up, and then like
you
pop it and
scratch the back of the DVD.
So oh, yeah. I want to like
the best parts skip.
I want to miss all the in-between song banter and then be so mad about it, because that's like the number one reason I'd want to get it.
Yeah. And then drink myself into a coma.
Yeah, based on, you know, just out of solidarity for the, you know,
right
narrative.
Out of this song.
Yeah. Out of this song.
Tyler, do you have any bad ideas this week?
No, I asked you before we got on mic, and you maybe had one, because I definitely don't. I feel like I had no bad ideas over the course of the whole last week. I mean, I'm sure I did, and I just like immediately didn't write them down and probably should have.
It took me until yesterday to think of anything. Only good ideas this week for Tyler.
Yeah, I'm number one in general, but I'm the factory of good ideas.
This is kind of a bad idea. I had this like self-care idea to make a little like front page of a newspaper every day, but it's just about my day. So I'm like the Grace Chronicle or something. And then I've like make little like article headers like Grace's dreams, and I like write down the dreams I had that night and like events happening in the house, just to kind of try to like make merry or make importance out of all the fucking nothing that's happening.
I mean, I love that idea. I totally understand why you would say it's a bad idea, because like it's like something that is so extreme to do, especially every day. Yeah. But if you stuck to it like that, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea. I mean, it's kind of like if a character in a movie did it, you'd be like, oh my gosh, what a neurotic maniac. Like, what a bad
idea.
Like,
wow, what a quirky girl. I bet you're going to fall in love with a businessman bucket list bitch. Like, you know.
Yeah. But in real life, maybe is a good idea. I mean, you should do it over the course of the next week and report back when we record again.
I think I will. Can I tell you my other bad idea that I think is a doubly bad idea, because I'm almost positive somebody's already done it. So it's an unoriginal bad idea.
So it's like it's a plagiarized bad idea.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not consciously plagiarizing anybody, but I think it must have been done because it's so basic.
What is it?
Like a movie, like a love story, a short film between the CIA agent listening through your phone and you.
Oh, I don't know if anyone's done that. That's actually a great idea.
You think? I feel like some improv nerd somewhere on the internet must have done it already, but I mean, we could be those improv nerds.
Yeah, we definitely could be those improv nerds. I think we ought to, because it's also the kind of thing you could maybe do like Unfriended style on your like webcam.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have these headphones already, so.
True. Is it a cautionary tale about the waning, no, sorry, not waning, the opposite of waning, about the amount of times we say wane, the kind of rising horrors around surveillance and that everyone is always being watched and listened to? Or is it just like an earnest love song?
I love that you just conflated the word rising with waning, which is not a real word unless you're talking about the moon, and you aren't.
Waning is a real word. You can say like when something is waning, it means it's winding down, right?
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Which is the opposite of rising.
Yeah, no, I definitely just did a 1-2 switcheroo on the words there. But we've been talking for a long time into microphones, so maybe that's why.
I think it's a romantic comedy.
Yeah, it could also be both. Like, I feel like we're at a point now culturally where you can have a romantic comedy that's also about other things, like, you know, the Big Sick or something, like a really kind of enlightened next level romantic comedy that handles other subjects and topics and such.
Or it's like rom-com slash slasher film, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good. I'd watch that.
Yeah, me too.
I'd watch that. Anyway, this has been episode 2 of Fountains of Splain. I'm so amped that we got to talk about the song that we got to talk about today. I can't even describe it.
This is definitely one of my favorites. I'm super happy.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite episodes that we've done.
One of my favorites. Oh, I also no, I can't keep talking. I'm fucking sick of my own voice. I need to hang up. hang up the landline.
Are you sure? Do you have something you want to add? We can add.
I was gonna say this is kind of like this is maybe jumping the gun, but I did start a playlist for Fountains of Splain. So now it is Lonely Style, Simply Everything's Ruined. Tonight I'm obviously going to add No Better Place to it. I just wanted, like, I already have my own Fountains of Wayne playlist, and obviously you can just go to the fucking artist and listen to them that way, but I wanted like our order.
So yeah, I love that. Oh my god, do you want to like publicly say what your Spotify is so people can find that?
Definitely do. So my Spotify is special because I deleted my Facebook, and so my name is no longer attached to it. So you have to search the series of numbers. Let me pull it up.
In the meantime, while you're pulling it up, what's our email if people want to email bad ideas or like memories or impressions of Wayne or like counterpoints to things that we say about these songs?
So true. It's fountainsofsplain@gmail.com.
Wow, so easy. Literally can't get it wrong.
No. My number code on Spotify is 12-769-2609.
Easy.
I personally have it memorized, so
if possible, I'll put that in the show. Text that to me. I'll put it in the show notes so that you can.
That's a great
people
idea.
Listening
I need
can
to
just, like click on.
Really call Spotify. I've tried to change it on their website before, and there's no way to do. I'm fucking furious.
No, they're like married to Facebook. You need to be like you're not even a real person if you're not on Facebook, according to certain corporations. It's pretty awful.
What a big mutual dick suck. I'm so mad.
Yeah, awful. And on that note, I think that concludes our episode.
Yeah, at long last.
At long last. This has been a blast, though. I'm glad we got to get this recording in. And I guess we will see each other and everyone else next week for another episode of Fountains of Splain, where we will talk about another Rando Commando Wayne song.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Me neither. I can't wait. Wayniac signing off. We need like a Wayniac sign off. We need to be all right, like, Wayniac's out. But
Wayne
out.
Yeah.
Wayne out.
Wayne down like Wayne the moon. Wayne.
We'll workshop this. We'll figure this out. This is it's way too rough for to confirm it here and now.
Yeah. Adios.
Audio. For now, we'll go with the classic. Adios.